Welcome to this audio descriptive guide to the V&A's first ever gallery dedicated to furniture. My name is Nick Humphrey and I am one of the curators responsible for the gallery, which sits alongside other galleries devoted to specific materials and techniques such as ceramics, silver and sculpture. The exhibits in the furniture gallery date from the Middle Ages to the present day, and almost all parts of Europe are represented. A number of additional pieces highlight the ancestry of specific techniques, such as East Asian lacquer, Islamic marquetry, or ancient Egyptian wood turning. This gallery shows domestic, movable furniture, the types that serve the varied activities of our daily lives, sitting and sleeping, eating, working and playing, organizing and storing. It includes seats, tables and storage pieces, but also mirrors, clocks, screens and even musical instruments. Although the gallery displays 200 pieces, we could easily have chosen many more, so every one had to justify its place. Some exemplify a particular technique, others are outstanding examples of design, and yet others highlight the career of a particular designer or maker. As well as some really spectacular pieces, there are also examples of more day-to-day furniture in their original, unaltered condition. Many of the artifacts have not been exhibited in living memory. The core subject of the gallery is the way Western furniture has been constructed and decorated from about 1400 to the present day. It's organized into 16 sections that each address a particular technique. Each section, whether it's joinery, gilding or upholstery, to take three examples, juxtaposes pieces of furniture that are deliberately diverse in form, date and place of origin. Some visitors will be surprised, even shocked, to find a Mexican mother-of-pearl bureau bookcase from about 1800, displayed alongside a 1930s chair by Marcel Breuer and a late 17th century cabinet by André-Charles Boulle. But in all three, the use of veneers is fundamental to the design and visual impact. Complementing this structure, running down the central spine of the 60-metre-long gallery, we introduce the main forms of Western furniture through 25 key pieces arranged in chronological order. These run from a massive late medieval German chest through a mid-18th century commode and Carlo Molino's arabesque table of 1949 to the latest piece from 2012, a walnut drawer unit that can be reconfigured almost endlessly by the user, but that looks at first sight like a stack of wooden blocks. In addition, a series of smaller displays focus on specific makers or designers, illuminating the human stories behind the processes of design, manufacture, and marketing furniture. Some, like Thomas Chippendale or Frank Lloyd Wright, are very famous names. Others, like George Brookshaw or the Orkney chairmaker David Kirkness, will be unfamiliar to many. In this gallery, the furniture is displayed on raised plinths, lifting it 40 centimetres above floor level, where we're used to seeing it, and placing it closer to the height of a workbench, where it was made. Where possible, backs and sides are deliberately revealed to show more of their structure, as well as their decorative facades. Furniture making has always been inventive in design, construction, and decoration. Some techniques were developed to make manufacture more efficient and affordable. Others simulate more expensive materials or processes, gilding instead of solid gold, veneer instead of solid wood. What begins as a practical feature often becomes more decorative, such as when a trunk, constantly hauled about, has its joints and corners reinforced. Gradually, these same practical metal corners often became richly ornamented in their own right, embellishing a trunk that is now more likely to be a showpiece. As well as technical innovations, the pieces on display show great continuity. A joiner or gilder working today could walk into a 15th century workshop and recognise a great many of the tools and processes in use. I think that one thing the gallery does is reveal the dual life of furniture. Good furniture serves the body and the mind. On the one hand, it's the anonymous servant of daily life, taken for granted, or as we say, just part of the furniture. On the other, a piece of furniture is an autonomous piece of design, engineered to stand alone and please the eye. In this gallery, understanding how furniture is made complements our daily use of it and our appreciation of its aesthetic qualities.